Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of Trust of our Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Today is June the 29th, 2025. This is the fifth day of the fourth lunar month, 2029. Our service today is taken from 2 times readings number 34 by the Vicia Harvest, April 17th, 1948. Okay. 2 times readings number 34, Vicia Harvest, April 17th, 1948. The title of our sermon, If You Were Nothing, What Would You Choose to Be? 1 Kings 3:5. It says, and Gideon, the Asher, appeared unto Solomon in a dream by the night, and Yahweh said, ask what I shall give thee. Solomon asked for wisdom, and alone with it he got everything a man, along with it he could desire to have. 1 Kings 3:10-14. If we were given a choice such as Solomon was given, what would we ask for? I fear many of us would not ask for as good a thing as Solomon asked. I think most of us would ask for a reasonable amount of money, and some of us perhaps would ask for a great riches, others for a wife or a husband. And what makes me think of this? Simply because I see so many applying themselves to earning and hunting, not to learning. Supposing you were nothing and you had enough sense to hear Yahweh's voice, as did the Solomon saying, what do you wish to be? Ask for it, and that shall you be. You would want to be the best in Yahweh's creation, a human being. And let us suppose that your request has been granted, that you have now become a fine human being, but have advanced no further. You as yet belong to the family, race, government of our people. You know nothing about Yahweh and nothing about religion. Next in your progress among the living, you would want to choose your nationality. Which of all the people on the earth would you choose to be? I would choose to be a Hebrew, because the Hebrew nation of all the nations on the earth has for its parentage prophets, kings, and priests. For the Hebrew nation, I do not mean the unbelieving present day Jews at the present time, has no government of its own. It is shattered among the nations. You would therefore have to choose the government with which you would like to make your home. Since the United States of America is the most prosperous nation, and since with its rule you can move about with your greater freedom than any other nation, you would doubtless choose to become one of its citizens. Suppose next year we're greatly impressed to connect yourself with a church. there been but three religions to choose from, pagan, Christian, and Mohammedan, which one would you choose for your own? Your Yahweh-given wisdom would tell you that it would have to be the one that has the best and longest record, the one that has proved its origin and endurance, the one that has proved itself capable of saving a sinner, raising the dead, and translating the living. Since the religion of the Yahshua alone has proved itself capable of the performing all of these and of the predicting the rise and fall of the nation and peoples, past, present, and future, from the time immemorial to the time of the end, and since its founder alone claims credit for the creating of the world and of the being a son of Yahweh, with the beginning and the end, with the Savior of all mankind, you would want to join it. In fact, if one is to reap the fullest benefit from the religion, and these are the qualifications which his religion must have, and if these are the chief reasons for one's embracing religion, and there is no alternative but to take the Christian religion, for it alone backs up its guarantee with the actual fact, with the actual performance. Suppose you have now become a wholehearted and altogether Christian, that you are confronted with still a greater problem. That is, you find a Christianity divided into many sects, one different from the other, both in the doctrine and deportment. You are therefore forced to choose the sect that you would like to join, the sect you would like to make your own. Your choice would have to be again based on the fact, not on the assumption. And since the Bible itself has now become your only guide, your only teacher, you would have to consult it, and your choice would have to be made accordingly. And if you be living now in the time of the end, the time in which the revelation of the John actually speaks and shines upon the path of the saints, you would have to consult the book of the revelation first and join the sect which it recommends, and which is it. Let us turn to Revelation 12, verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as it flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The woman, you know, is the symbol of the sect, the church. Revelation 12:16. and the earth held a woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Only this church, you see, is favored even by the earth itself. This sect alone is saved from the dragon's flood, saved from being carried away by the flood of the hypocrites and terrors in her midst. Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua. Here you see the remnant, those who are left after the others are swallowed by the earth, so to speak, keeps the commandment of the Yahweh and has the testimony of the Yahshua, Messiah. This remnant are such that keeps the commandments of the Yahweh, therefore is the only one that inspiration recommends, as the only one that is worth joining, the only one that can profit anyone. It alone possesses the power to escape any and all of the calamity that are now brewing throughout the world. It is the only sect that finds favor with the Yahweh. No other would do, for no other could profit you. Then also, it alone has the testimony of the Yahshua Messiah as the living spirit of the prophecy and its myth, Revelation 19:10, with the spirit who leads into all of the truth, who alone can rightly interpret all the scriptures, 2 Peter 1:20-21, plainly, then, with the inspiration, would have you join no sect but this remnant, keeping the commandments of the Yahweh, though it involves keeping every one of them. That includes the commandments of the sanctuary. As Yahshua pointed out to his apostles in John 15:10, he said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Yahshua's commandments and the Father's commandments together are found in Leviticus 23:1-44. That's in the whole sanctuary operation here on earth. It's all the feast days, the new moon, everything. Out of the holy days throughout the year, 52 seventh-day Sabbath, they all go together. The Ten Commandments and all the statutes and judges of the sanctuary all go together. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. That's it. Keeping the commandments of Yahweh, though it involves keeping everyone of them. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend it at one point is guilty of all. James 3:10. And remember also that the keeping of the commandments can only be recognized only by the keeping of the Sabbath commandment, the commandment which says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Yahweh, and it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor that stranger that is within thy gates, for in 6 days Yahweh made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Yahshua blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus 29:11. Therefore the Yahweh, 3 days again, for in 6 days the Yahweh the Father made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus 29:11. For the Sabbath day is created only, is created holy. Really, the first 6 days are created for work. The seventh day Sabbath is the only Sabbath in all the holy word. As we already, there is no command to keep another day in his stead. The keeping of the seventh day Sabbath alone testifies of the one's faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of his son Yahshua, and as the co-creator with the Father, and against evolution. For a Sabbath substitute, therefore, can no more be acceptable as a commandment of the Yahweh than should the change offering have been accepted as the Yahweh's ordained sacrifice. Now, do not contradict the Yahweh by this saying that the seventh day is for the Jews only, for the Yahweh says in Isaiah 56:2-7, blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that lets hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil, and not let the men are the son of the stranger that has joined himself to the Yahweh speaks, saying, for the Yahweh hath utterly separated me from his people. Now that let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Yahweh unto the eunuch, shall keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that pleases me, and take the hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house, and within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and of the daughters. I will give of them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that joined themselves unto the Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of the Yahweh should be his servant. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh the hold of my covenant, which is the laws of the sanctuary, as well as the new moon Sabbath, all the holy days during the year, even them will I bring unto my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of the prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. For the only Sabbath that sure ever knew was the seventh day Sabbath. Now this is wrong. This is wrong. For the only Sabbath, he said, that Yahshua ever knew was the seventh day Sabbath. Now that's a false statement. That's a false statement. I beat you hard. It's as false as it can be. And I'll show you why. Yahshua was born out of the loins of his father. And his father created the sanctuary system in heaven, and Yahshua was his first creation out of his loins. And Yahweh the Father created all the holy days, and he called them holy days. He called them Sabbath days in Leviticus 23. And Yahshua was created to be the heartbeat and the center of that sanctuary system with all the holy days in it. That's your 12 new moon Sabbaths a year. That is 52 seventh day Sabbath. That is the Pentecost is a Sabbath once a year. The Passover is a Sabbath once a year. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the first and the last day of that week are holy days called Sabbath days. So you have 52 seventh day Sabbath. You have 12 new moon Sabbaths a year. And then you have six other seasonal, I mean yearly Sabbath. You have Atonement, Pentecost, Passover, and so all of that adds up to 70 holy days a year. So Yahshua is the heartbeat, and he is he is the instrument that makes the sanctuary system operate for the salvation of mankind. And then you have the daily, twice a day. You have the third hour of the morning, and you have the ninth hour of the afternoon, the other sacred hours of each and every day of the week. And so that's a part of the sanctuary service. Yahshua is the author of the sanctuary service, and he calls those, all of those holy days and statutes and judgments, he calls over his commandments here on earth. And he says so in John 15:10. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now his Father's commandments is more than just the 10 commandments. His Father's commandments is a lot more commandments than just the 10. And they're all found in the sanctuary. Leviticus 23:1-44. So I'm not going to talk any more about that. I'm just going to continue on reading where I left off. I'll reread what I read. For the only Sabbath Yahshua knew, and that's an improper statement, so I'm going to correct that statement right now. For this Yahshua, being a co-author of the seventh day of Sabbath, he is also the co-author of the sanctuary Sabbath days, which is you have 18 additional holy days a year, so he's the co-author of those, including the 52 seventh day Sabbaths. So we are sure he is co-author of all the 70 holy days a year for Israel, with Yahweh the Father. So this is how far B.C. Hollis is behind in his education for being a prophet and a teacher in Israel. B.C. Hollis was limited. He was limited because he didn't have that many years put in of study and research before he was called to the office of the Shepherd's Rod in 1929. So, looking forward, so Yahshua, being a co-author of all the holy days, 70 a year, and looking forward to the Great Tribulation, deep in the antitypical apostolic era, he said, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, that would mean the seventh day Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world unto this time, no, nor ever shall be. Matthew 24:20-21. For the Sabbath is for all people, in the Old and in the New Testament time. Moreover, again, with the speaking of the antipical apostolic era as a time that the earth is made new, is with the inspiration of the turn in Isaiah 66:23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon unto another, and from one Sabbath unto another, shall all flesh come to worship before me. Now, did you all say that this is in the earth made new? Yes, it is in the earth made new. But it starts right here in the 12th parabolic hour during the harvest time of all the Gentiles from all over the world by the 144,000. And they brought that holy mountain there, mentioned there in Isaiah 66:23. Now, that's right here in the 12th parabolic hour before the end of this 6,000-year period for man's probation for sin. Okay, but Richie, obviously, he's making it sound like it's after the earth is made new with one new moon there, like one Sabbath to another. Okay, but that's done here. We're doing it right now. We're doing the new moon, and we're doing from one Sabbath to another since 1970 for the Seventh-day Adventist. That was new light given, restoring the sanctuary system of the creation calendar by Ricky Hollis, I mean by Brother Stephen Johnson in 1970 at Gilead Center. So, we started from new in 1970. Brother Johnson, for the first time, taught his congregation of Gilead Center from one new moon to another, one Sabbath to another. We're going to meet and keep all these holy days from now on till the end of time, according to the earth made new. That's what Brother Johnson taught. And so for 33 years, Brother Johnson published a creation calendar, and the Gilead Center kept all those holy days for 33 and a half years, as long as I was there. Okay. So, but when Gilead Center came to a close, the holy days ceased with them. It says so there in Isaiah 1:2. He says, your new moon is away with them. He took them away from Gilead Center because Brother Johnson apostatized and caused the whole congregation to apostatize. They despise the holy days. And so, Brother Johnson started dismantling the holy days in Gilead Center back then in 1983. 13 years after 1970, Brother Johnson started dismantling the holy days by suspending the daily. The two times of worship during the day, the third hour in the morning and the ninth hour in the afternoon. Brother Johnson suspended that because it was inconvenient. Because he had people that had businesses that worked every day, and it was just too hard for them to keep those holy hours. So Brother Johnson said, well, we'll just put those on hold, and when let's keep those, we get into the land. We won't worry about them here in the United States. And that's the effort caused Brother Johnson's life to go on out, because he did that. The Bible didn't authorize him to do that. Holy Spirit didn't authorize him to do that, but he did it. That's why he's not here today. And nobody succeeded him. Gilead Center came to a close for new moons, the Sabbath, all of everything, the whole sanctuary system that Brother Johnson had restored in 1970 for the Adventists. came to an end in 2003, the term of Texas. So the Adventists had the Holy Ghost restored to her, and she wholeheartedly rejected even the author of the creation calendar, led the way in apostatizing for the whole Adventist church. And I inherited the creation calendar and continued it on. That sure connected it up to me. Okay, let's continue on. Okay, this is Isaiah 66:23, and it shall come to pass that one new moon unto another, and one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, said to Yahweh. Since the revelation, the book that speaks to the people of the Yahweh at this time, recommends the sect that keeps the commandments and that has the gift of the prophecy, you cannot wisely connect yourself with any other sect. And since Yahweh declares, it must be that there is but one such people at this particular time who have the living testimony of Yahshua Messiah for the, as a gift of the spirit of the prophecy. Moreover, for the Yahweh, the Father, to place the gift with more than one people would be for him to cause confusion and disaster to his own work, to thwart his own purpose. Still further, if more than one has the gift, then they all would necessarily have to agree as one. But since there are no two sects that agree with each other, the truth that there is but one sect that has a gift is an absolute reality. And while you may choose to keep the Sabbath commandment, you cannot inspire yourself with the spirit of the prophecy. This gift is bestowed upon the remnant by the Yahweh himself. For your next problem and your progress of the life would be to find the proper name of that commandment keeping people, a name that would actually, by the practice, express that they are the remnant for a divinely inspired name. Must in actuality point out the people whom the inspiration here recommends. Any other name on them would be misleading, and the same name on any other people would be misleading also. Let us not neglect for the noting also that the name of a people is not really a name but a title. And titles, you know, change as fast as truth unfolds, as fast as truth advances from one phase of the truth of the plan of salvation worked onto another. For the illustrating even of the personal name of the patriarch by which various movements of the past were named were changed as the time went on. Abram, you recall, in the process of the time, was called Abraham, and Jacob was called Israel. Then also, the congregation of the Moses time was called Israel. Israelite. And at the Yahshua's time, it was called Judean. Well, I'm not going to say that in our time, Yahshua, I was told that Ellen G. White, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is the spiritual Israel of today. He ought to, he wouldn't dare quote that, I don't guess. Maybe he has quoted it, but I haven't, I don't remember reading it. And after that, Christian finally came the time that it was called either Catholic or Protestant. Then either Lutheran or some other. Each one of these was the offspring of the old, not those who lag behind, but those who march on with the messages of the Yahweh. As the time goes on, are always recognized by the heaven as the church. At the commencement of each message, the people that marched on with the truth were the individual members of the church which had become a church through the acceptance of a message as a message which its founders brought forth. For example, the entire Jewish church did not become an apostolic church, but the apostolic church drew its members from the Judean church, the house of David, the lawgiver, and brought them for the advancement of the truth. With the truth especially adaptable for the time and the people then. As we are now living in the time of the revelation and the time of the unfolding of the prophecy, that point unto the setting up of the kingdom. Okay. Setting up of the kingdom. As well as for the second advent of the Yahshua coming with the church of this time. Therefore, could not logically go by a name other than a name that would benefit her present advanced phase of the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 20. Through the blood system. Plainly, then, her name must express the truth that she advocates, that is the keeping of the commandments, the second advent of the Yahshua, and also the restoration of the Davidian kingdom. Okay, the restoration of the Davidian kingdom. Okay, it says, for the Plainly, then, her name must express the truth that she advocates, that is, the keeping of the commandments. That includes all the feast days of the sanctuary, Leviticus 23, 1 through 44, the second advent of the Yeshua, and also the restoration of the Davidian kingdom according unto the prophecy. Hence, the logical name that would represent her work from this time down until the time that the kingdom is set up is to be the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, and a name that testifies of the kingdom, it should have apostrophe S on that kingdom, of the kingdom's message, and of the keeping of the commandments. When it says keeping of the commandments, inclusive of all of the statutes and judgments and precepts of the sanctuary system's operation, without the animal sacrifices, of which the seventh day Sabbath is a part, and of the second advent of the Yeshua. He had that right. The seventh day Sabbath is a part of the sanctuary system. It says so in Leviticus 23, 1 through 44. For the first holy day is mentioned in Leviticus 23 is the seventh day Sabbath. Then it mentions the Passover Sabbath. Then it mentions the Pentecost Sabbath that comes once a year. Then it mentions the Atonement Sabbath that comes once a year. Then it mentions the Feast of the Tabernacles that comes once a year. The 15th day of the Feast of Tabernacles is a holy day. And the 22nd day of the Feast of Tabernacles, 7 days later or 8 days later, is a holy day. Mentions all that. Now you see that every additional timely truth brings an additional timely name. And you who have not been baptized in the name of the church, but in the name of the church through the truth of the Spirit, ye who are not tied unto any man, but unto the Yeshua, cannot help going on with the spirit of the prophecy, who unfolds the truth. The names, it's people. You could not, therefore, afford to calmly stand by, dreaming of being rich and increased with the goods, and the need of nothing, while in fact you are spiritually poor and naked, and you will stay that way if you neglect to advance with the truth for this time. Finally, you need to know concretely what is the kingdom's message, the additional message, early writings, page 277, and the phase of his work that promotes the title Seventh-day Adventist and to the title Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, Isaiah 11, 11, 12, and 16, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from the Assyria, and from the Egypt, and from the Patriarch, and from the Cush, and from the Elam, and from the Shinar, and from the Hamath, and from the islands of the sea, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of the Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was unto Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. If the other people who are in the Babylon are to come out of her for the escaping of her plagues, Revelation 18:4, and to avoid the sins that are in Babylon, when she arises the beast and rules the world, Revelation 17, they must necessarily go to a place that is not vulnerable to her plague, and where there is no sin. Where is that place? Let the Bible give the answer. Ezekiel 37:21-28. And say unto them, thus saith the Yahweh, behold, I will take the children of the Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on the every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of the Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, for neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgression, but I will save them out of all of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, as so shall they be my people, and I will be their Yahweh, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, they shall dwell. Therein, even they and their children and their children's children, forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahweh, who sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Ezekiel 36:22-28. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Yahweh, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine, a holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, saith the Yahshua, Messiah, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and get you out of all country, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your king of Israel, son of Yahweh. Now, you can more fully appreciate the name of the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. And so, if you were nothing yesterday, and a Davidian enlightened human being today, you would at last be a Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. Suppose, though, you would then wish to go on to perfection. You would again cry out unto the Yahweh and say, in Micah 6:6-7, Wherewith shall I come before the Yahweh and bow myself before the high Yahweh? Shall I come before him with a burnt offering, with the calves of a year old? Will the Yahweh be pleased with the thousands of rams, or with the 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And now this is Yahweh's answer unto your cry, Micah 6:8. For he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does Yahweh require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Yahweh. Yes, here you have the answer to your heart's desire. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy Yahweh. Be not high-minded and self-sufficient, and what is more, inspiration continues. Micah 6:9, Yahweh's voice cries unto the city, and a man of wisdom shall see thy name, hear you the rod, and who hath appointed it. For the shepherd rod, the books of inspiration so named and inspired, its content in the only rod in the world that can be heard speaking, the Yahweh commands that you should hear it, that you do not waste any time in deciding between the rod literature and some other, for there is none other today than the rod literature which the Yahweh recommends you to hear. And when you hear the rod, you will find yourself wrapped in the love of the Yahshua and in the arms of Yahweh Triad. Now listen to his word, and let him in the language of the prophet tell you more about the day you and I are now approaching. today with which we are almost face to face with the light already given. But the following scriptures need no special comment, for they are self-interpreted. Mark 6:9. For the Yahweh's voice cries unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name, who is the rod and who has appointed it. Zechariah 13:8-9. And it shall come to pass that in all of the land said to Yahweh, two portions shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Yahweh is my Yahweh. Zechariah 12:8-10. In that day shall the Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is people among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek for the destroying all of the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of the grace and of the supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for me as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Jeremiah 30:9. But they shall serve the Yahweh their father, and David their king, the son, whom I will raise up unto them. Okay. Let's do that again. Jeremiah 30:9. But they shall serve the Yahshua their savior, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Of whom means the plural for Yahshua and David together. Yahweh the Father is going to raise up his son, Yahshua, and typical David. He's going to raise him up to the house of Israel here in these last days. Ezekiel 37:24-26. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, for it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Since you are now instructed in the truth and righteousness, and since the earth has not yet swallowed up the dragon's flood, also, since the message is but the announcement that the earth will soon swallow up the flood, which class of church members would you love most to associate? ? Hear ye the class which the Yahweh recommends. Matthew 5:3-16. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in the heart, for they shall see the Yahweh. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of the Yahweh. Blessed are they which are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This brings in the prosperity of this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call.